And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles, and by the space of 1,600 furlongs.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and we're continuing in the book of Revelation. Just yesterday we had part one, an overview of some of these chapters, but the great theme is the perseverance of the saints. And in that score, the book of Revelation is one of the most encouraging books that you can ever read. It is the wonderful assurance that the people of God who are redeemed by the blood of Jesus, every one will be in heaven. We sing that song, "The blood of Jesus shall never lose its power till the people of God are ransomed from sin to sin no more." And we rejoice in the power of the blood of Jesus. And it is that power that we feed upon, that we depend upon every day to live the Christian life. And so I hope that as we turn today to Revelation chapter 14, this is message part two on the eight absolute assurances for the perseverance of the saints, that we are kept by the power of God. May the Lord minister to your heart, encourage you thoroughly, and lead you to a closer walk with the Lord.
No one can rob you of the grace and the saving power of the Lord. You have a guarantee. You're sealed unto that great day. And so this is the first thing here. You cannot lose that mark of the Father. Then also in verse 2, we see that Christians keep their song, a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne. Now, I'll not go into the story. Remember, I looked up a YouTube documentary of a lady who played a harp for the New York Philharmonic Orchestra and gave a lot of instruction and detail about harps. And we learned that they have 2,000 mechanical parts to a harp. They can give 21 different tones. They're different from a piano, though very similar in some ways. Their strings are not metal, and they are played not by plucking, but by the pads of the fingers. They are played. That's where you get the gentle, soothing sound of the harp. And no wonder when David was called upon by King Saul to play music that soothed the heart of Saul. And no wonder the harp is a special instrument mentioned in heaven. And when you think of a vast array of harpists, the music would be heavenly and exhilarating. But no matter the music, the song, which no man could learn except the redeemed, the 144,000, it was their testimony. They could sing that song. Not the beasts, not the angels, but the 144,000 that were redeemed. I hope tonight that you have in your soul a song of redemption. I hope that tonight that you can take the hymn book and say that the Lord suffered, died, bled for you, and you have in your soul this new song, and you can sing of the blood of Christ as your own testimony. And no one's going to take that song away from you. You will be there and sing on that great day. Then also there is your position before the throne. In chapter 7, verse 9, now I'm doing a little bit of comparing here. Chapter 7, verse 9, "And this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, See, I told you that the Lord's church is international. It is made up of all the peoples of the world. And they are before the throne and before the Lamb. Now, in between chapter 7 and chapter 14, you have all the forces of hell at work. The rising of the beast out of the sea, the rising of the beast out of the land, the dragon, and the persecution that comes upon the church. But when we look at chapter 14, verse 3, what do we see? And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne. They're still there. They're still conquering. They're still singing the song of redemption. And that's because our standing with God is secured by the power of the Lamb. And because Christ has conquered, He is risen, we conquer through Him. And that is the blessed hope of every single child of God. Now, that led me to make a statement when I was preaching on this before, that for the Christian, we must always remember that there is much more before us than there is behind us. No matter what your story is as a Christian, whether you're a Christian for a short time or a long time, whether you have been victorious every day or maybe you have been disappointed and you have to confess failure and weakness, and disappointment, yet this testimony, this truth that we have so much more ahead of us than there is behind us. And that must keep us going, charge our batteries, and give us fire to serve the Lord in the days to come. Now, verse 4, you will see that Christians also keep their purity. Now, this is a whole section referring to the lusts of the flesh. And this purity is referring to sexual purity. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. They are pure. And I don't want to dig into this much tonight, but sexual sins are the tool of the devil. They are his mighty weapons to attack not only the man of the world, but the people of God. And there are so many warnings in the Bible that we are to flee these carnal sins, or they will destroy us and drag us down. And a Christian must be an overcomer over the sins of the flesh. Now, these are virgins, we are told. They're pure. And they keep themselves from such sins. And that is an amazing and a wonderful victory. And it is through the grace and the keeping power of the Lord that we are made overcomers. Now, number 5, Christians keep their discipleship. If you look also at verse 4, it says, "These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth." They never stop following the Lamb. And of course, they feel a loyalty, a love, an attraction to the slain Lamb, to the Lord Jesus. And I have learned that in preaching God's word, that when you preach the cross, when you preach about Christ, the suffering Savior, it has a magnetic spiritual power that attracts the true believer. You cannot preach the cross and expound on the nature of Christ's death and sufferings on that tree and not have the attention and have the approval of the child of God. Because it is Christ as our Lamb that draws us. And when we keep our eyes on our Lord Jesus and on his sufferings for us, we are motivated. we are stirred and helped to go through and go on with God. And so we sing, "Where He leads me, I will follow." Now the next one is verse 4 again, toward the end, and that is, Christians keep their testimony. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Now this first fruits is taken from that sheaf that was taken into the temple. It was the first of the harvest, and it was presented right there in the presence of God in the temple. And it was the token sheaf, and it bespoke of the many, the great harvest that was yet to come in. Now, that's our hope tonight, that the Lord is yet to gather in a great harvest. And I trust tonight that you're rejoicing in your own testimony and what the Lord has done for your own soul. But we are looking for that great harvest of the church that is gathered in. And so I trust that my opening prayer tonight, that this would be the year of reaping in the church, is not unfounded. That prayer is your prayer, that this will be the year when the Lord will gather in His church. Even though in the midst of ungodly things happening in our nation, the Lord has still a program to harvest and gather in His church. And that's why the church needs to be busy praying. That's why prayer is not in vain. And what we plan to do on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday is not an exercise of mere piety. It is an exercise of desperation that God will fill these seats with sinners crying out, "What must I do to be saved?" That our family members to whom we witness and pray for regularly, that God will bring them through to the place of true faith and service in the Lord. Now, number 7, I have to move on here. We come to verse 5. "And in their mouth was found no guile, for they were without fault before the throne of God." Christians keep their justification. They are without fault before the throne of God. That's justification. Justification means God to declare us sinless, to declare us innocent of all charges. Or as Romans 8:33 puts it, "Who shall lay any charge to God's elect? It is Christ that died." And those that are redeemed have a justification before God. They are without fault. That's amazing. And it's our testimony and it's our hope that a Christian who is washed in the blood of Jesus, justified by grace, that we have a standing with God without fault. And so even the devil who accuses us, who would seek to drag us down or condemn us before God, God's answer is that we are without fault. Now the last one, number 8, and I'm moving quickly, but to verse 13. And you will see here that Christians keep their rewards. "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead, which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Yes, there are rewards for the Christian life. These are our works. Keeping the commandments of God, that's part of it. That's the reason why we are rewarded. We keep the commandments of God. And a Christian spends his life seeking to please God and to honor Him in all that we do. We take His commandments seriously. We are convinced that the commandments of God are a summary of the rule of life that the Christian is to live. And it's not for our salvation, but it is for our sanctification and for our walk with God. And on that eternal day, for every command that we obey and keep, God will reward his people. Their works do follow them. What they do on earth will follow them into heaven. That's why Jesus talked about storing up treasure in heaven. That's why when we endure hardship for Christ and be a living testimony for him, that there is a reward. It's not in vain. And those who serve and follow after money, serve after the fame and the fortune of men, they have their reward. It's a temporary reward. They may make gain in this life, but the Christian is aiming for those eternal rewards, those sacrifices, those times when it's cost to obey the Lord and put him first. Then we have the well done, good and faithful servant. And so we serve him all our days. Now, there are many of God's commandments that we need to take to heart. And as it's the first Sunday of the new year, I will come back to my number one, keeping the Lord's Day. When you and your family keeps the Lord's Day as a special day unto God. Now, I'm not going to go down the details of what you should and should not do. Some Christians keep the Lord's Day somewhat differently. But in every Christian home who really believes that the law of God is our rule of life, it's how we please our Heavenly Father, we agree tonight there is a day to keep. And it's not 4 hours or 8 hours, it's 24 hours. And that day should be very different from the other 6 days of the week. It should be a day when you are freed up to worship God at home and in public, where you are present to enjoy the means of grace. Now, that means the tools that God has provided to strengthen your Christian life. The means of grace is public worship, prayer, praise, preaching, the fellowship of the saints, and that will work wonders in your life if you keep that one day in seven unto the Lord and enter into those exercises of worship. Now, if we just stay at home and keep the television on, we may not do any physical work, we may not be making any money, but we're just frittering away the time and maybe opening up our minds and hearts to temptations of the flesh. But when your home is a home that's sacred unto God on that one day in the week, that will set you apart and bring stability. It will bring routine into your Christian life that will set you apart and make you strong in the Lord. And on that great day, well, we're going to enter into the eternal Sabbath, but you will earn your rewards. The Apostle Paul stated about this in the chapter of the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. And so we can take great hope tonight that we will not lose our rewards. Our works will follow us. And every exertion, every sacrifice we make for Christ is banked up and stored in that reservoir of heaven. And this is the only phase in life that we can do it. Once we die, we cannot earn these rewards. This is the time of life to make your Christian life count for God. And I trust that in this new year that you will take that to heart and that you will rejoice in serving the Lord with confidence and with that blessed hope within your own soul. And so as we move on into the chapter 15 and 16, that's a whole new section. And you will see in chapter 15 that there are those, this another wonder in heaven, the seven bowls of wrath. And Lord willing, we will get to that next Sunday. And I hope that this little refresher course tonight will prepare our hearts for that, but that we will take this hope and rejoice.
I'm so glad to be a preacher of hope. And as we come to this book of Revelation, what a foundation we have for this hope. Even whatever the devil throws at the church, whatever persecution comes upon God's people, they cannot rob the soul. Even viruses cannot attack the soul. They may attack the body, but not the soul. And praise God, the blood of Jesus has not lost its power. I hope today that you are trusting in the Lord Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. Trust Him. Believe on Him. Remember Romans 10 verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Look it up in Romans chapter 10, and I pray that you will call on the Lord to save you, and that you will have this sweet, blessed assurance that it is totally, absolutely well with your soul.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.